KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's clear and 30 degrees in Atlantic. It looks to be sunny today and breezy, a high near 65. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Adair and Guthrie County Emergency Management Agencies will be hosting their joint 2016 Storm Spotter class at the Menlo Community Center, 7 p.m. on March 16th. According to Robert Kemp, coordinator for the agencies, the class is free and open to the public. The following week, March 21st to the 25th, has been designated as Severe Weather Awareness Week in Iowa. The highlight of Severe Weather Awareness Week is the annual tornado drill scheduled for Wednesday, March 23rd at around 10 a.m. Schools, businesses, state and local governments, and individuals are strongly encouraged to participate in the drill. Additional information about the tornado drill can be found at the National Weather Service websites. During the Severe Weather Awareness Week, Homeland Security and Emergency Management Division will post information on individual and family preparedness at www.beready.iowa.gov, including podcasts, public service announcements, and videos. The National Weather Service will promote severe weather safety on their websites and by issuing informative public information statements. And again, additional information about severe weather and family safety can be found at www.beready.iowa.gov. Iowa Governor Terry Branstad says he could go along with House Republicans' plan to extend $95 million in state tax breaks to Iowa small business owners and farmers who purchased assets in 2015.
It will be tight, and it will use up a lot of the surplus over and above what we have in the cash reserve and economic emergency account, but we could accept for 1 year.
Branstad did not include this recommendation in the plans he submitted to legislators in January. Republicans of the House have voted to make this tax break available to about 177,000 Iowa small business owners and farmers who are filing their taxes right now. And Republicans of the legislature would like to make it permanent, but Branstad says he'll only accept a one-year extension.
We'd lose too much revenue, and it would put us in a financial position that we couldn't sustain it for the long term.
The tax break under discussion is a credit for the depreciation of assets and will be available to small business owners and farmers who buy things like computer software, machinery, equipment, and on-farm storage structures. State officials in the past several years have aligned state tax law with federal tax policy in this area. The leader of Democrats in the Iowa Senate says there are private discussions among key legislators to determine what might be possible this year. Investor Warren Buffett says the United States economy is in better shape than the presidential candidates make it seem. Buffett said today in his annual letter to Berkshire Hathaway shareholders that any baby born in the country today will live better than their parents, even with the current slow economic growth. He notes that there will still be economic disruption and pain along the way as businesses evolve, but that the country needs to make sure it has a solid safety net to help people who lose jobs. Buffett pointed out that change also creates challenges for Berkshire's businesses. For instance, its Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad is certain to haul less coal in the future, and Geico Insurance could be hurt by driverless cars. He assured shareholders that Berkshire's businesses will adapt. Farm and construction equipment manufacturer Deere & Company is cutting 100 manufacturing workers at two Iowa factories. Layoffs effective April 1st include 80 workers in Davenport and 20 in Dubuque. Both factories are part of the company's construction and forestry division. Its Moline, Illinois-based company said Friday it's balancing the size of its workforce with market demand for some of its products. Last week, Deere cut its full earnings forecast, citing weak sales of farm and construction equipment. Falling commodity prices have made farmers less likely to buy new equipment, and declining oil prices have affected the company's construction equipment sales. In November, the company announced that it would idle about 220 workers. For fiscal year 2016, Deere anticipates equipment sales declining about 10%. Johnson County currently has a minimum wage that's higher than the state's, and officials in neighboring Linn County are considering a similar move. Governor Terry Branstad says it would be better if the base rate for hourly wages was set on a statewide basis.
But I understand we have a legislature that's divided, and there's not a consensus on that issue. So I've indicated a willingness to consider it, but I just don't perceive that there is a consensus in the legislature between the parties on addressing increasing the minimum wage.
Brenstad made his comments Friday during the Iowa Press Program on Iowa Public Television. Last fall, Johnson County officials passed an ordinance that raised the minimum wage to $8.20 an hour. It will go up to $9.15 an hour on May 1st in Johnson County, although some communities in the county were allowed to opt out of the minimum wage hike plan. On January 1st of next year, the minimum wage for most of Johnson County will rise to $10.10 an hour. Officials of the board that governs the University of Iowa are discussing a move to opt out of the higher minimum wage rate for Johnson County because students in the work-study programs at Iowa would be paid more than work-study students at Iowa State and UNI. The Iowa Supreme Court is declining to address merits of a lawsuit brought by a criminal investigator fired after complaining about Governor Branstad's speeding state vehicle. The court dismissed an appeal Friday filed by former Division of Criminal Investigation Supervisor Larry Headland. The justices say his appeal of a judge's order wasn't filed within a 30-day deadline, and therefore it wasn't timely. The decision says other claims in Headland's lawsuit can move forward, and that he can appeal the ruling at the end of the case. At issue is whether Headland and other state officers can sue for wrongful discharge in violation of public policy. A judge dismissed that claim, saying it's not recognized in Iowa, and the state police officers can only challenge their firings through administrative proceedings. The University of Iowa has established an academy so top high school sophomores can attend the university. The Board of Regents approved the academy's name Thursday at its meeting in Ames. The Martin and Melva Buxbaum Early Entrance Academy for Science, Technology, Arts, Engineering, and Math has been made possible through a $10 million donation from Mary Buxbaum Scanlon and Patrick Scanlon. The center is being named in memory of Mary Scanlon's parents, Martin and Melva Buxbaum. The teenagers will enroll for fall of 2016 as first-year students after completing the equivalent of their sophomore years in high school. The university wants to admit 12 to 20 students from across the state and nation for the first batch of academy students. And two more Iowans have tested positive for the Zika virus, bringing the total number of cases in the state to three. All three cases involve women who had recently traveled to countries where mosquitoes that transmit the virus are established. Iowa college students who are preparing to travel to popular spring break locations are being urged to take precautions to avoid getting the Zika virus. Erin Baldwin is director of the Iowa State University's Thielen Student Health Center.
Zika virus is currently all over in the Caribbean, in Central America, in Mexico, and in the Pacific Islands and South America. So a lot of places our students may be traveling for spring break.
The Zika virus is primarily transmitted through bites from an infected Aedes mosquito, the same species that spread chikungunya and dengue fever. Baldwin is warning any travelers to areas where there is ongoing Zika virus transmission to protect themselves.
You know, wearing long sleeve shirts and long pants, making sure that they're sleeping in areas that are air conditioned, away from mosquitoes, using EPA registered insect repellents.
Symptoms of Zika are typically mild and severe illness is rare. The common symptoms include fever, rash, joint and muscle pain and headache. And while rare, spread of the virus through blood transfusion and sexual contact has also been reported. The virus's greatest risk is to pregnant women or those who may become pregnant due to possible links to a birth defect causing small heads and incomplete brain development in infants. The CDC is recommending pregnant women avoid traveling to places where the Zika virus is circulating. The news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.